1045 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Buckingham Palace says King Charles has been diagnosed with cancer. ABC's Maggie Rooley in London.
We did see him out and about yesterday, briefly leaving church in Sandringham, but other than that, we haven't seen him. And so right now, people are thinking of him, wondering exactly what kind of cancer this is, how far along it is. Right now, we just don't have those details yet.
The palace says a separate area of concern was diagnosed while the king was being treated for a benign prostate issue, that he's positive about his treatment and that he looks forward to returning to public duty as soon as possible. House Speaker Mike Johnson says a bipartisan Senate bill which ramps up border security policy while providing funding to Ukraine and Israel is dead on arrival. Almost 1.5 million people in the L.A. area are under flash flood warnings as a powerful atmospheric river continues to pound Southern California with heavy rain. Secretary of State Antony Blinken back in the Mideast to push for a hostage deal for Israel and Hamas. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden has some competition for Wisconsin Democratic primary voters in April. The state Supreme Court ordered Dean Phillips' name to be on the ballot Friday. Phillips says democracy works best when voters have choices.
I believe democracy requires competition. It makes everything better. American voters deserve choices. 70% of American voters don't want Donald Trump or Joe Biden.
Phillips on Upfront on WISN-TV. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says it will hear Governor Evers' lawsuit challenging the legislature's practice of blocking his initiatives in committee. The governor sued the legislature for blocking a number of conservation projects. Evers says lawmakers should not be able to kill plans that passed as separate laws or part of the state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Department of Parks and Recreation hosted its annual cold front event at Bayfront on Saturday, despite the distinct lack of a cold front in the weather. According to a Northern News Now report, the organizers of the event had to haul in snow from other parts of the area to give attendees the traditional experience, which includes ice skating, snowboarding, and s'mores. The event also featured a s'mores with the mayor activity, allowing local residents to sit down with the new mayor, Roger Reinert, to eat s'mores. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new online tool which will allow people to report food or water sickness. The online tool is meant to help local health departments identify the source of the contamination that is causing the illness and address it at the source more quickly. Health officials are also reminding residents that even if they only get a minor illness from food or water, they should report it because other people with weaker immune systems may suffer from more aggressive symptoms. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
The Bucks lose in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Jazz 123-108. Doc Rivers says the team found open shots. They just couldn't score against the Jazz.
I thought when they went big early, we rushed. That's why I called the timeout. I said, guys, just settle down. We're going to get every shot we want. And we did. We just couldn't make any of them. And the more we missed, the bigger they got.
The Bucks take on the Suns in Phoenix tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin loses to Purdue 75-69 before a sold-out audience at the Kohl Center. Greg Garden coming up short again to the number 2-ranked Boilermakers.
Competition at its highest level is very rewarding. It can be very painful, as today is, but it's rewarding. And now, you know, we got to get better before we get to mid-March and see them again.
NFL Packers defensive coaching staff has been told they are free to interview with other teams after hiring a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. So defensive line coach Jerry Montgomery, who's been with the team since 2015, will interview with the New England Patriots. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap under a mix of sun and clouds as high temperatures spike to the mid-40s. Patchy fog builds in tonight and through tomorrow morning, and then we clear out tomorrow with more sunshine and highs flirting with the 50s. It will be a bit breezy, though, as more warmth surges in. Right now, it's 49.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Kevin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Monday, the 5th of February, 2024. Welcome back to hour number two of the big program. 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Great to be with you. Start of work week and back to school. I am wearing my Wisconsin Badger stocking cap for those watching on the stream because it was a big weekend for Wisconsin sports. And we'll talk all about it tomorrow.
Yeah, yesterday, what a game.
What a game. Did you see that Purdue game?
I don't know if I did. I can't recall.
I watched it. And it was a heck of a game. And we're going to talk all about it tomorrow.
Yes.
We're pre-recording this show. If you want to know why we're being so goofy and coy about it, we're pre-recording this show a couple of days before here, over the weekend. So we're not live today, and therefore, unfortunately, not taking your phone calls because Todd's taking today to help Dad out a little bit, a little minor medical procedure here, nothing too major. So taking the day off to help him, and so we pre-recorded the show. And coming up next hour, by the way, a pre-recorded edition of Matt Flynn Direct. And I am guest hosting the first hour. And what we decided to do is we thought, well, no better time to introduce you to a new program on the weekend, every weekend from 1 until 2. It comes right after one of the other great programs, the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, which I know, Mr. Zommers, you edit every week.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's also weird, though, because I listen to it at double speed to edit it. Yes. And then if I ever hear it on the radio after, I'm like, what is going on? They're talking so slow. But no, it's normal.
You ever asked Charlie Behrens to talk to you in double time?
Not in person, no.
Okay.
Although I have met him, but as I've talked about before, doing some stage tech work in Manitowoc when he was on tour there years ago.
And a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's not making it up. But this last weekend, yesterday and the day before, it was Mary Mack, another Midwest comedian. Oh. And she's a Minnesota and Wisconsin hybrid, although I really should say Minnesota because her accent is super thick.
Is it really?
It's a really good episode. Obviously, when you're hearing this, it's too late to hear it on Civic Media, but you can go and look up the Cripes Cast. I would recommend giving that a listen.
Absolutely. So now on Saturdays, following the Cripes Cast, you can hear Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, host Scott Klug, which incidentally turns out to be one of my former bosses. Scott was a Republican, a moderate. Yes, they actually did exist back in the 90s. A moderate Republican who represented the 2nd Congressional District of Madison, or of Wisconsin, which includes Madison. Yes, believe it or not, there was a time when a Republican got elected multiple times representing Madison and Dane County.
It used to be that you could be a conservative Democrat or a liberal Republican.
and get elected.
But now, no.
Right. And the reason, one of the reasons I think that Scott got elected, it was because he was much more of a libertarian, I would say. He was a pro-choice Republican, which I don't think any exist anymore.
If they do, they're called rhinos.
Right. And he also voted in favor of the assault weapons ban, Clinton's assault weapons ban in the 90s as well. He was more of a, and he was also a fiscal conservative. He was much, he was like a no pork kind of guy. Like he just, people would come to him and say, we need to put this one thing in the budget specifically for Wisconsin. He'd say, go find somebody else. Like, I'm here for the national budget. You know, the deficit was huge at the time. And he was just, he was a fiscal conservative, but he was a social moderate, if not now you would say liberal. So anyway, he has this new podcast called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, in which he talks about, hey, a lot of people just feel like neither major party represents me anymore. So the episode we're going to play for you next hour on Matt Flynn Direct is one about independence. And it talks about everybody from George Wallace to Ross Perot to Teddy Roosevelt, all these people that ran as independents at one time or another, and what are the prospects of an independent crashing the party in 2024? Give you a hint. Not good.
Yeah. not that that part is surprising to you, but knowing that there are definitive reasons why, being able to put your finger on it is helpful. Plus, I think, I mean, I'm biased because Todd and I are helping work on it, but I think it's fun to listen to.
It is. No, I think Mr. Zomers does a great job weaving it all together. And Scott's a great host. Has some great interviews. So stay tuned. Again, coming up on the first hour, Matt Flynn. I'm more of like an MC than a host the next hour.
I'm just
kind of MCing it and introducing Lost in the Middle throughout Matt Flynn Direct. So that's coming up immediately after our show today. In this hour, at least to kick it off, I want to go back to kind of review something we talked about last week and then some new news over the weekend. Riley Casper, a guy in his early 20s, was sentenced last week to prison because of his involvement, and he's from Wisconsin, with his involvement from January 6th, the insurrection. He pled guilty to assaulting cops and bragged about it in his sworn deposition, in which he used bear spray. And for those of you who don't know, this is more than just mace or like something that someone would carry in their purse or their pants or whatever to ward off an attacker.
Yeah, it's not meant to disable a person. It's meant to disable a bear. And bears, a little bit bigger than people.
Oh, you bear hunt. Do you carry bear spray with you?
I haven't. But I was also with my dad, and I believe he had some. But also, we've never like felt that we would ever have to use it, but because we also have guns, and also it's black bears, and black bears in particular, usually if you just stand up and make some noise, they're like, I ain't messing with that.
Right. Grizzlies are much more aggressive.
Oh yeah. Those. No, you don't mess with grizzlies.
Right. So this bear spray that this guy had, this Riley Casper from Wisconsin, was meant to ward off grizzly bears. And this is what he was spraying cops, police officers with on January 6th and bragged about it. And we made the point last week that this dude, Casper, from Wisconsin, who has pled guilty to these charges and is now going to prison for actions on January 6th, this is the person and the type of people that Donald Trump has called a hero, who says they're hostages, his word, not mine, and has vowed to let off the hook to give pardons to if he gets a second term in office. And what's fascinating is that Derek Van Orden, the Republican congressman from the 3rd District of Wisconsin, who likes to crow like a guinea hen about, I guess like hens don't crow so much as roosters, maybe a guinea rooster. Derek Van Orden crows like a guinea rooster about he, quote unquote, backs the blue.
And that Trump backs the blue.
And that Trump backs the blue. But yet, Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden want to pardon people like this Casper guy in Wisconsin who attacked cops, admitted to it under oath. Now, over the weekend, a story from NBC News. Man who carried a Confederate flag in the Capitol on January 6th is sentenced to 3 years. I don't know about you, But if there is a photo that I find reprehensible from January 6th, it's this iconic photo of this dude carrying a Confederate flag through the Capitol of the United States of America. In my opinion, the Confederate flag is a flag of treason, and it has no part in any sort of official American business at all. Quite frankly, I don't find it should have a part anywhere in America, but especially not in the halls of the U.S. Capitol. This story now from Daniel Barnes from NBC News. A Delaware man who carried a Confederate flag through the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th riot was sentenced to 3 years in prison this past Thursday. Kevin Searfried, 53, was convicted on 5 charges stemming from his participation in the riot, including obstruction of an official proceeding, the joint session of Congress that was working to certify the Electoral College vote that day. The government had sought a 70-month sentence for Searfried, while his lawyer asked for a one year in prison. The U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden, a Trump-appointed judge who oversaw the trial, told Searfried it was, quote, shocking and outrageous, unquote, that he brought a Confederate flag into the Capitol. The judge also criticized Searfried for using the flag to jab at a black U.S. Capitol police officer during the confrontation in the building. Let me say that again. The Trump-appointed judge criticized Searfried for using the flag to jab a black U.S. Capitol police officer during the confrontation in the building. Quote, "I hope you realize how offensive it is," unquote, according to the judge. Those are the words from a Trump-appointed judge. An emotional Searfried addressed the court before being sentenced and apologized, saying that he made a terrible mistake and his family has suffered for it. Quote, "I thought that standing there and using my voice was protected under freedom of speech, but I know I crossed the line," he said. "I never wanted to send a message of hate," unquote. Now look, if some Nimrod wants to buy a Confederate flag and stand down in the street corner and say goofy crap, yeah, that's protected free speech. But you bring a Confederate flag into the hallowed halls of the United States Capitol and then use that to assault a U.S. Capitol police officer? That's absolutely crossing the line.
So, yeah, like you said, he did cross the line.
Photographs of the insurrectionist walking through the Capitol with his Confederate flag quickly became some of the most well-known images from the January 6th assault. Searfried brought the flag, quote, as a symbol of protest, but had not considered the logic of those who see the flag as a symbol of American racism, unquote, his lawyer wrote in their sentencing memorandum filed last week. You don't think about the Confederate flag being a symbol of American racism? Hey, here's a breaking news for you. The Civil War was about slavery. Back with more on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Early.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, February 5th, 2024. Pre-recorded show today, so no phone calls, but we'll be back with the all-new live show tomorrow on Tuesday with Mr. Zomers. We'll be live from Green Bay tomorrow, so looking forward to that. Taking the opportunity to review some of the things that happened this past weekend in the news, or at least late last week. And you're going to hear about this on this program as we go through 2024. We're going to keep updating you on it because I think it's very important as we decide for whom we're going to vote this year to be reminded of the chaos that preceded this past 4 years of Joe Biden. The chaos that was Donald Trump and Trumpism and MAGA. Talking about this NBC News report about this January 6th insurrectionist, this is the guy, most people have seen this photo, the guy who carried the Confederate flag, a flag of treason, through the United States Capitol and then used it to hit and assault a U.S. Capitol police officer. And again, remember, it's dudes like this that Donald Trump has called a hero. He has called them a hostage. The ones that are in prison for their actions. And vows that he will pardon all of them. And put them back on the street. If he is elected to another term. That is not backing the blue. That is backing an insurrectionist. So it should be no surprise that Derek Van Orden, Republican from the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, in Western Wisconsin, who was at the insurrection, who posted pictures about it on Facebook, who's bragged about it, who called it a patriotic event, it should be no surprise that Derek Van Orden has the same viewpoint and has endorsed Donald Trump, went to Iowa for the Iowa caucuses, spoke lovingly about him, said, oh, Donald Trump is just so much love. He would give you the shirt off his back, literally. That's a direct quote, that Donald Trump would give you the shirt off his back.
I can think of one scenario in which Donald Trump might give me the shirt off his back.
What's that?
If it had napalm on it and he wanted to take it off.
Well, that's true. That is very true. Continuing on with this story about the Seyfried guy, the insurrectionist that carried the flag, he was the first rioter in the building to interact with the U.S. Capitol police officer, Eugene Goodman. Now, there's a hero. Capitol police officer, Eugene Goodman, who led Seyfried and the other rioters away from the entrance to the Senate chamber, prosecutors said. Goodman, the police officer, had ordered Seyfried to leave the building. In response, Seyfried asked Goodman where the members of Congress were and, quote, jabbed the base of the flagpole at him, unquote, prosecutors said. Quote, you can shoot me, man, but we're coming in, unquote, Seyfried told Goodman, according to the prosecutors. Seyfried attended the riot with his son, Hunter, 24, who was charged alongside him and was already sentenced in October to 2 years in prison. During Hunter's sentencing, his lawyer blamed the elder Seyfried for allegedly pressuring his son to storm the Capitol. Kevin Seyfried was granted permission by the judge to travel to Washington to attend his son's sentencing, but was not seen in the courtroom during the October hearing. More than 900 people have been arrested in connection with January 6th so far, resulting in nearly 500 guilty pleas and dozens of significant prison sentences. The investigation is ongoing. Again, it's important to remember, these rioters, these insurrectionists, were arrested, charged under the law, afforded an attorney if they couldn't afford one themselves, had their day in court, unless they pled guilty, which many of them, when presented with their own words under oath or evidence thereof, had pled guilty on their own. But those who pled innocent were afforded a trial of their peers, went through a court proceeding, a trial, and their peers found them guilty. And they have been duly sentenced, many by Trump-appointed judges, like this one. So this whole narrative that, oh, well, this is just, you know, liberal activists, that there's a war going on against MAGA people, there's a militarization of the judicial system against MAGA. It doesn't add up. If you look at the evidence, it does not add up.
Another argument I sometimes hear that I've mentioned before is that, oh, yeah, the guy grabbing the Confederate flag at a black officer, sure, he should go to jail. The people who were violent should, but not everyone was violent. I would like to remind those of you who use that line of reasoning, yes, not everyone was violent. Also, not everyone is in prison. Not everyone who went there is being sentenced.
Exactly. Like Derek Van Orden.
Yeah, he was there, and he didn't go and punch anybody out, so he's not going to jail.
He claims he did not go in, although that has not been verified. He claims he didn't go in, but he continues to up, and that's my point. You can't, and this is a. I'm actually trying to be helpful here. Some people won't believe this, but I'm actually trying to be helpful to Republican sheriffs in Western Wisconsin, to Republican courthouse officials, district attorneys, register of deeds. Derek Van Orden, if he hasn't already, or his staff are going to come knocking. They're going to call you up. They're going to ask for your endorsement. I would think long and hard if I were a Republican sheriff in Western Wisconsin or any other Republican elected official before you endorse Derek Van Orden, who is now endorsed Trump and therefore has endorsed the Trump position that these people who attacked law enforcement officers in some places was a result of their death. Derek Van Orden believes that's okay, believes they should be pardoned, believes the people who assaulted law enforcement officers should be put back on the street. If you're a Republican elected official in Western Wisconsin, is that what you want? Do you want your opponents running against you on that? Do you want letters to the editor saying, Sheriff so-and-so goes with Trump and Van Orden, that we should let people who assault cops on the street, let them out, let them off? I don't think that's what most Republican or any sheriff wants in Western Wisconsin. So I'm actually trying to be helpful as a former Republican campaign official in Western Wisconsin. Just, you know, free advice. Take it if you want. I find it appalling because, yes, there are areas we've talked about on this show before of law enforcement that have challenges just like everybody else, and we've called that out. But by and large, the men and women who put on the badge, put on the uniform, do a great job of protecting our local communities in Wisconsin. And for anyone to attack, let alone kill a law enforcement officer who is trying to protect the hallowed halls of democracy, to say that that person should be let off the hook, give me a break. Derek Van Orden should be ashamed of himself. And so should Donald Trump. Back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show for a Monday. We'll be back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gray wolves will stay under federal endangered species protections. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's going to focus on a national wolf strategy. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says that means the state's wolf management plan will stay the same. It bans wolf hunting until the population in Wisconsin is well over 1,000. February is Black History Month. Black leaders in Wisconsin say the fight for equality is as relevant as ever.
All these years later, in 2024, that we've got people who are trying to undermine efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion to lift people up who've had challenges trying to live out that simple American dream.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Civic Media's Earl Ingram Show. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. An SUV and a bus full of children had a head-on collision in Duluth on Friday afternoon. According to the Duluth Police Department, the crash happened around 4:30 on Friday afternoon at the intersection of North 4th Avenue East and East 5th Street. Authorities say none of the children on the bus were injured, but the two people in the SUV were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The children were transferred to another bus following the crash and continued their trip home from school. A Duluth-based company has announced it will be laying off 43 employees, including 14 from their Duluth headquarters. According to a press release on Friday, Maurice's announced they'll be laying off about 10% of its corporate office positions. In a statement, Chief Administrative Officer of Maurice's, Sue Ross, said, quote, "The layoffs were handled as humanely as possible. Maurice's is a proven retailer with 93 years of history, but we are not immune to the pressure and challenges gripping so many industries today." And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know, if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Former comedian and TV host Byron Allen is trying to buy the Paramount Network for $30 billion, according to Bloomberg. Byron Allen was a stand-up comic in the 80s and started bringing a video camera to celebrity events to interview attendees. Brilliantly, he sold the interviews and eventually was hired to host his own show. Now, he's the founder of the Allen Media Group and a billionaire. Genius. Oppenheimer star Florence Pugh says that a camera broke during a sex scene between her and co-star Cillian Murphy. It was revealed that they had to pause the intimate sex scene due to equipment failure, not Murphy's. Pugh said she and Murphy sat hugging themselves and covering up until the issue was resolved, and said everyone on the site was very supportive. Oppenheimer is nominated for 13 honors at this year's Academy Awards, which are set for March 10th. 13 nominations are one shy of the record. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another gorgeous day on tap under a mix of sun and clouds as high temperatures spike to the mid-40s. Patchy fog builds in tonight and through tomorrow morning, and then we clear out tomorrow with more sunshine and highs flirting with the 50s. It will be a bit breezy, though, as more warmth surges in. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try. Get along. Song.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Monday, the 5th of February, 2024. Mr. Zomer is on the board. No phone calls today as we are recording this over the weekend, a pre-recorded show today, taking the day off to help out Dad just a little bit. Nothing serious, but just trying to, you know, do a little family time. We'll be back live with you tomorrow from Green Bay. So looking forward to that, and on a Tuesday tomorrow from Green Bay. Right now, I want to take a minute to play you a couple of things here, because I think this is something that gets, in my opinion, underreported. I've never met Joe Biden, but I have been in the room with him once. He was here a few years back campaigning for U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, and I went to a speech. It was about a 40 to 45 minute speech. Not short. It was when he was, I can't remember when he was vice president. I think it was, he was just out of the vice presidency at the time. And he was campaigning here in Wisconsin for Baldwin in Madison. And he gave about a 40, 45 minute speech. And for about 7-8 minutes of that, he was what we would call Uncle Joe. Kind of fiery, you know, come on, man. You know, fired up. And for the rest of the speech, he spoke in these quiet tones. And he said, you know what? Look, here's the deal. Our enemy isn't our neighbor. All right, just because someone is a Republican and you're a Democrat, or they're a Democrat, you're a Republican, that's not your enemy. That's our fellow human. And we might have disagreements with them, but they're not your enemy. And he talked about this unity. And talked about that he'd worked with people like John McCain and others in Congress when he was a senator, Republicans that he called good men and good women. And so we're at our best when we work together. And so I thought I'd play a couple of clips here since we're a pre-recorded show today. This happened last week when Joe Biden was making calls to the three family members of the three service members who were lost in that attack in Syria. And there happened to be a news reporter there that recorded this call that came in to one of the families from President Biden. This is from Morning Joe from last week.
President Biden has called the family of Kennedy Sanders in Waycross, Georgia. Kennedy was an Army Reserve Specialist, posthumously promoted to the rank of sergeant, after she and two other soldiers were killed on Sunday by a drone strike in Jordan. In an emotional phone call recorded on camera by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, President Biden is heard consoling Kennedy's family.
This is Joe Biden.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Sean, I wish I didn't have to make this call. I know there's nothing anybody can say or do to ease the pain. I've been there.
Yes, sir, we understand.
I just want you to know that you're in my prayers, my heart.
Yes, sir, we know that you can definitely feel our pain.
Well, unfortunately, I do, but I can tell you one other thing. You won't believe it now. And I hope it won't be angry when I say it. The day will come. The day will come when you walk by a park Kennedy played in, or you open a closet and you smell the fragrance of her clothing or something like that, and you'll smile before you cry. That's when you know you're going to make it. It takes a hell of a long time to get there, but I promise you, you'll get there. I know that is no consolation now. I wish there was something really intelligent I could say to change everything.
I just thank you so much for your words of comfort, especially from a parent who's experienced it. And, you know, if you've made it through, I know that, you know, we can make it through as well. So I just appreciate your words.
You know, Mike, they used to call Reagan the consoler in chief there in that situation. I guess, you know, Joe Biden, better than anybody, can talk to parents who've lost a child and tell him he understands their pain and understands that they will get through it, but it'll be a hell of a long process.
You know,
Mrs. Saunders yesterday received that phone call not from the President of the United States. She received that phone call from Joseph R. Biden, a parent from Wilmington, Delaware, who has lost children, his daughter, his son, one of the daughter by accident, the son by cancer, and he has a deep, full understanding of loss. He lives with it each and every day. He manages to carry that burden quite well, but he understands human beings who have lost things, lost loved ones. And that was an exhibit A for Joe Biden being president of the United States. What kind of a man would you like leading this country? A good man who understands your life, your losses, your victories, or someone who is just all in it for himself? He clearly is not all in it for himself.
Yeah. That was from Morning Joe from this past week on MSNBC discussing the call, one of the calls that President Biden made to one of the families who are grieving. And I think it just gives unique insight into the kind of person this guy is. Like I said, I've only seen him in a room once, haven't met him. But even after that 40, 45 minute speech here in Madison a few years back, he worked the rope line, as it's called, where people and supporters stand after the speech, taking selfies, listening to people, talking, not just going through and spending 3 seconds with everybody, but some of these people you're spending 5 minutes with. He actually cares about people. I'm going to play you a little clip here to give you some insight because, you know, there every year there is a nonpartisan interfaith prayer breakfast on Capitol Hill. It did not get a lot of attention, ironically enough, last week. When Republicans are president, it seems to get a lot of attention. When Democrats are president, it seems not to. For those that don't know, Joe Biden is a devout Catholic.
And a lot of presidents in the past, is he the first one? No, he's not the first.
No, Kennedy was the first Catholic.
But most don't declare,
right,
you know, their religion in that way.
Right. And Joe Biden is a devout Catholic, and he spoke at the prayer breakfast, and I think it gives a great insight of Biden saying how the context of 2024's campaign is shifting, and gave what might possibly be one of the most profound words of his presidency. This is last week, courtesy of CNN, President Biden speaking at the interdenominational prayer breakfast on Capitol Hill.
Let me close with this. It's fitting today marks the first time the National Prayer Breakfast is being held here in Statuary Hall. This is where the House of Representatives met for 50 years leading up to the Civil War. It's where Congressman from Illinois, Abraham Lincoln, sat at desk number 191 before becoming president, who served our union and saved it. History remembers President Lincoln's first inaugural address, counseling us to heed, quote, the better angels of our nature. The better angels of our nature. We do well to remember what he said just a few moments before he concluded the same address. At a moment of deep division in our nation, President Lincoln said, we are not enemies. He said, we are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies, he went on to say. I've long believed we have to look at each other, even in our most challenging times, not as enemies, but as fellow Americans. Scripture tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I believe that's our collective calling today. Here we are in this room among the statue of heroes who shaped our history. And here we know faith is a living spirit that awakens our passions to come down from the pedestal and act to serve. That's why over the door of the rotunda is a scripture depicting Cleo, the muse of history. In her hands is an open book in which she records the events taking place here. In the citadel of democracy, she's a silent witness to the American story of war and peace, insurrection and stability. As we gather this morning, what will Cleo write for the future?
about what we did in our time? What will she write about us? My prayer, my hope, is we continue to believe our best days are ahead of us, that as a nation, we continue to believe in honesty, decency, dignity, and respect. We see each other not as enemies, but as fellow human beings, each made in the image of God, each precious in His sight. We leave no one behind. We believe everyone deserves a fair shot. We give hate no safe harbor. Together we believe in America. That's my prayer, to remember who we are. We're the United States.
It cuts out there, but he said the United States of America, of course. That's what, how the thing ended. That was Joe Biden for this past week at the international or interdenominational prayer breakfast on Capitol Hill. I wanted to play that for you in its entirety because whether or not you agree with Joe Biden's policies, which is fair game, people can certainly disagree with some of his policies. I would find it hard to believe that a honest person could say that Joe Biden is not a man of faith, that he's a good, decent human being. I mean, my goodness, Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, is quoted as saying a few years back, God has never made a better man than Joe Biden, unquote. And as you look back on presidents, both Republican and Democrat, right? I mean, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, all of these men were men of faith in their own way. And also, by and large, in their actions, in their personal lives. And I would much rather have an individual who not just talks about their faith, but more importantly, lives it through deed, and someone of character in the White House, than someone who professes a religious faith, but the results and the actions do not back that up. Liz Cheney has said it recently on The View. When asked by Joy Behar whether she would consider voting for Joe Biden, she said, look, if you're a Republican or an independent, like me, you might disagree vehemently with some of Joe Biden's policies, but America can survive 4 years of bad policies, if you think that's what they are. But America cannot survive an attack on the United States Constitution and authoritarianism, which is what Trump would bring us in term number two.
And he has promised as much.
Yeah. Only be a dictator, though, Mr. Summers, on day one.
Ha, 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 ha.
Only day one.
For sure. Just one day.
Oh, yowzers, yowzers, yowzers. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap up this pre-recorded edition of the show. Again, we're back tomorrow on Tuesday with a brand new live edition, live from Green Bay. We're going to come back and talk to you about a love story. We are in February, Mr. Zombers. It is the month of love, Valentine's Day here coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk to you about a story that first developed in Baraboo, Wisconsin. How about that?
For local reporting.
For local reporting, absolutely. It turns out that a crane, not the kind, in, you know, a building crane, but a bird, a crane attacked potential mates. But then she fell for her keeper.
Aww.
A story of a bird and her man on the other side. To round out the show, don't go anywhere. We are here on a Monday, the 5th of February, just trying to get along, trying to bring some peace, some harmony, and in this case, some love. It's the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct, taking us to the front lines of history, history being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news and weather at the top of the hour. We are filling in for Matt Flynn in his first hour today. And a little short notice, so we put together what we thought we'd do, because no phone calls, because it's pre-recorded, is we thought we would put together or bring you one of the episodes of this new show on Saturday called Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphan with Scott Klug. So stay tuned. It's about independence. It's a theme that Matt talks about, how important independence are going to be in 2024. So we'll be along kind of emceeing, not so much guest hosting, but emceeing. Matt Flynn Direct after the top of the hour. Right now, want to end on, I think this is a fantastic story. I hope you enjoy it, Mr. Zomers. From the Associated Press, Dateline Washington. One of the great interspecies love stories of our time has come to an end. I mean, it's a little sad, but it's a beautiful story.
To an end?
Well, just hang in there.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Walnut.
So I'm allergic to this story.
Walnut, a white naped crane and internet celebrity, has passed away at age 42. 42, you heard that right, for a crane. She is survived by 8 chicks, the loving staff at the Smithsonian's National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute, and by Chris Crow, a human zookeeper whom Walnut regarded as her mate for nearly 20 years. It's a true story. Quote, Walnut was a unique individual with a vivacious personality, Crow said in a statement released by the National Zoo. Quote, I'll always be grateful with her bond with me. The tale of Walnut and Chris was inspired internet fame and occasional love songs. It dates back to the bird's 2004 arrival at the Institute's campus in Front Royal, Virginia. The chick of two wild cranes who had been brought to the U.S. illegally and were later rescued by the International Crane Foundation right here in Wisconsin in Baraboo. Walnut was hand-raised by people and bonded with her human caretakers. The preference continued when she came to the Institute. She showed no interest in breeding and even attacked male crane suitors. She's like, get away! I have no interest in these birds. Just did not want any part of it. But white-naped cranes are considered vulnerable by the International Union for Conservation and Nature. Today, less than 5,300 remain in their native habitats in Mongolia, Serbia, Korea, Japan, and China due to habitat loss, pollution, nest predation, and poaching. And as the offspring of two wild-caught cranes, Walnut's genes were not represented in the U.S. zoos. So convincing Walnut to breed was regarded as a big priority. In stepped Crow, who, according to a zoo statement, won her over by, quote, observing and mimicking, unquote, the Institute's male white-naped crane's actions during breeding season. Now, I've never studied this. I mean, how, you know, What does a horny crane look like? I don't know. But apparently
this man knows.
This guy found out. Videos show Crow offering walnut food as well as grass and leaves for nest building materials. When he flaps his arms in front of her, the tall, majestic bird flaps excitedly in response and dances in a half circle with her head bobbing. Well, there you go. That's what a horny crane looks like. Once a crow had gained her trust, he was able to artificially inseminate her using sperm from a male crane. I don't want to know. The unique arrangement provided wildly successful, proved wildly successful, and Walnut has given birth to 8 chicks. The fertilized eggs were given to other white-naped crane pairs who tended to them as their own. Of the 8 white-naped cranes currently living at the Institute, one is Walnut's chick, the other, her grand chick. The relationship also seems to have been beneficial for Walnut's health. At 42, she nearly tripled the median life expectancy of 15 years for white-naped cranes in human captivity.
Yeah, I looked that up and I was going to bring that up.
So it turns out that, you know, getting it on can prolong your life. Just bob your head and flop around. Walnut was born in Wisconsin. At the Crane Institute here at Baraboo in the summer of 1981. She was named after a local Wisconsin restaurant's popular walnut pie dessert. I wonder, is there a place in Baraboo, what's it called? The Farm Kitchen. It could be the Farm Kitchen up there. I'm not sure if they have the walnut pie or not. Starting the morning of January 2nd, keepers noticed Walnut was not eating or drinking, offered her favorite treats, frozen thawed mice, peanuts, and mealworms. Didn't do anything. Didn't spark her appetite. Veterinarians administered fluids and antibiotics, but Walnut continued to decline. She passed away peacefully, we can tell you, surrounded by an animal care team. An autopsy revealed the cause of death to be renal failure. She died of kidney disease.
Yeah.
But she was an old bird. I mean, you know, someday you're an old bird. But, so, you know, she lived a great life, and she helped prolong her species.
Absolutely.
And she brought together human and crane.
A true American hero.
A true American hero. A love story. You understand? A love story.
An interspecies love story.
All started right here in Wisconsin.
You know, I think taking these moves out of context really might spice up my romance life. I'm going to go to the club, do the head bobbing and the wing flapping.
Right?
And then, you know, artificially inseminate somebody.
I don't know that part.
See, I'll have to interview him and figure out the methodology. And
yes. I don't think that works human to human, but bird to human, I think it's fine.
Well, I didn't say what kind of club I was going to.
Oh, well, maybe a bird club.
I'll have to see if there are any.
Check out with Jane Matt Nair. She's always down for a good bird club.
I will have to ask her about that.
Yeah, she has that cockatoo or whatever that she...
The umbrella cockatoo, yeah.
Yes, the umbrella cockatoo. Well, stay tuned next. We're going to be joining you next hour as we fill in for Matt Flynn on Matt Flynn Direct. We're going to be talking to you about the Lost in the Middle podcast with Scott Klug. It'll be a great hour. We will see you live tomorrow in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Taking your calls tomorrow live from there. Mr. Zomers, thanks for making it a great day. Great kickoff to the week. We'll see you tomorrow from Green Bay.
Adios.
All right. This is Todd Allbo saying whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC